Still turn back with me to Ephesians chapter 5. The message this morning is about followers of God. Based on everything that he'd said in the first four chapters of the book of Ephesians, Paul said, therefore, on this basis, be ye followers of God as dear children. Paul told, and let me say this at the outset, believers are followers of God. That's what they do. They follow. They follow. He told the Thessalonians that he knew their election of God, the Apostle Paul did. He said, our gospel came not in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. What's the next thing he told them? And you become followers of us and the Lord. Followers. Believers are followers. John chapter 10, verse 26, he said, to the Jews, they said, if thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. He said, I told you. But you believe not because you're not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. What's the next thing he said? And they follow me. They follow me. Believers are followers. He said in Philippians 3:12, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I am apprehended. Believers are followers. They know something of their wicked, depraved nature, something about their ignorance and inability of themselves. And they know something about God's way. God's way is the way of mercy and grace. And they know something of God's means. It pleased God through the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Except you be born again of the Spirit. Huh? Born again of the Spirit. So, preacher, what is a follower of God? Well, let me give you four things this morning. Four things that the Holy Ghost tells us in this passage about followers of God. First of all, this man is one who has received the spirit of adoption. Be ye followers of God, now listen, as dear children. Not strangers, but fellow citizens and of the household of God. We're children. Children of God. We're plainly told here, be ye followers of God as dear children. Flip over a few pages to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's look at some passages that talk about our adoption. In Ephesians 1:4, having stated our eternal election in Christ, he goes on to tell us in verse 5, Ephesians chapter 1, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. He goes on to tell us the means involved, the life and death of Christ, giving to us the light of the mystery of God, making known these hidden things to us. He tells us something about the stewardship of Christ being steward over all things, but especially over time. Time is something God uses to accomplish his purpose. God's not a creature of time. God's eternal. He has no beginning. He has no end. And we're eternal in the sense that God breathed unto us the breath of life. Our souls are eternal souls. They're souls that came from God. And there's an eternal gathering of all things in Christ. He's the steward of time. And during this time, he's gathering to himself, gathering things. Everything that God gave him to do, he's gathering to himself. Everything that God gave him to save, he's saving. In whom also, verse 11, Ephesians 1, we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. How do we get to be children? God predestinated us to be children. And men and women find their link to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. Now listen to that verse again. I think it's verse 5. Unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. He comes through Christ. And we find our link to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this according to God's eternal purpose of grace. He tells us in verse 12 of Ephesians 1 that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Who's that? That's God the Father. He trusted all things into the hands of his Son. And as his Son redeems these things and calls these things and gathers these things and justifies these things and makes good things in heaven, makes good things in earth, accomplishes the eternal will of God, then God is glorified. He's glorified that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Now listen, verse 13, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. What is this earnest that he's talking about? It's the Holy Spirit of promise. God shuts his children up. This is God's purpose through the preaching of the gospel. He calls you out of darkness into his light. And he shuts you up to Christ. Not like this world that looks to everything. They look to feelings. They look to this. They look to that. They try to go back 40 years to that day they walked down the aisle, or that some churches have a mourner's bench and they call them up front and after singing 20 or 30 verses of Just As I Am, and they get them up front and then they gather around and pray and then they tell them they're saved. And men go back to that and start looking at that. That's not how God saves his people. God shuts you up to Christ. You don't have anything else. It's not like you sit around and say, well, I've got 8 or 10 options. I think I'll do this. No, he shuts you up to Christ. There are no options. He shuts you up to Christ. He shuts your mouth. You don't have any more excuses. You can't go to the law. You can't talk about your worthiness. You can't do anything. You're the sinner. All you can do is sin. And then he shows you the Savior. What's he do? He saves. He shuts you up to Christ. And you lay hold on Christ. And I don't ever leave. I don't ever leave. He seals you with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you keep right on believing. I don't care what comes along. You keep right on believing. You persevere in that faith. The Holy Spirit of promise is that hope of Christ in you set forth in the gospel of Christ. And we believe it and we cling to him and rest in him. And we have nothing apart from him and nothing beyond him. He's all. Romans 8:14 said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God. Where does the Spirit of God lead a man? Huh? The Holy Spirit of God, I used to take my kids by hand and I'd lead them in. Most time they was pulling. Where does the Holy Spirit lead us? He leads you to Christ. Isn't that what he does? Well, yeah, but after that, what he does? He leads you to Christ. Yeah, but after that, what happens? He leads you to Christ. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We're sons. We're sons of God. We're daughters of God. And the spirit of adoption shows us our union with Christ. We're one with Him. And if we're one with Him, we're one with the Father. He shows us our union with Christ by a loving Father and that obedience and redemption accomplished by the Son. And so our adoption revealed by the Spirit of God reveals that union. He shuts us up to Christ. We lay hold on Him. He's my hope. He's my hope. Paul said this to the Galatians. Somebody come in there preaching to them this old thing of experience and works and keeping the law. Well, you might not have to keep the Ten Commandments, but you have to be circumcised. No, you don't. And then he said, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, Galatians 4:5, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, and because you're sons, God has sent forth His Spirit into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We see Christ not going against the Father's will, but fulfilling the Father's will. In John 6:37, He said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out, for I came not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day. He didn't come contrary to the Father's will. He came to accomplish the Father's will. In the volume of the book, he said in Hebrews 10, it's written of me, I come to do thy will, O God. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Secondly, what is a follower of God? Look at this. Be ye followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. Walk in love. Does that mean I got to get all gaga over everybody I meet? No, that's not what this love is talking about. Ephesians 5:2. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. How did he demonstrate his love? Huh? Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave us his only begotten Son. He's the propitiation for our sins. God manifested his love to us in that he died for us on the cross. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You want to love your wife? You want her to know that you love her? Give yourself for her. Do what you do for her. That's what this love's talking about. Walk in love. Give yourself. Give yourself in love as a child of God. Well, I can't do that. I'll soon be broke. My soul, where did you get what you had? From the Lord? You going to outgive him? I doubt it. I doubt it. Walk in love. Love is one giving himself to another. It's self-sacrifice. And we give ourselves. How do we give ourselves to the children of God? We give ourselves in prayer. Do I care for them? Then why don't I pray for them? Do I love them? Why don't I pray for them? We give ourselves in prayer. We give ourselves, though most are ignorant of it, to the support of this place, so that our friends and neighbors and children can have a place to hear the gospel, and without which faith will never come. Huh? Give ourselves. He said, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? To walk in love as a dear child is to walk having an interest in God's family. I went down to Ball, Louisiana years ago, pastored a little church down there, and one of the men that I really liked, Carol Robertson, had a son whose name was Rance. And Rance ran a huge sweet potato farm. And he carried me out there in his truck one Sunday afternoon. He said, I want you to meet my son. And so we went out there, and one of the farmhands came to him, and he said, there's somebody's been calling you all morning. It's really urgent. You need to go. And he said, I'm going to run in here real quick and do his phone call. He said, I'll come back out, and I want you to meet my son. He's working here with the other hands. So I sat in the truck, and I was watching these men load the sweet potato truck, loading it up with bags of sweet potatoes. And Rance came back out after a few minutes. He says, come on. He said, I want you to meet my son. I said, I know which one's your son. He said, which one? I said, that one right there. He said, did he come over here and introduce himself? I said, no. He said, how did you know he was my son? I said, he's carrying two bags and everybody else is carrying one. He got an interest in the farm. He got an interest in the, he's an heir. He's an heir. To walk in love as dear children is to walk having an interest. Having an interest. I'm an heir. I'm a fellow heir. I'm an heir of God and fellow heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. We walk in love as dear children, precious souls bought by the blood of the Son of God and heirs of God. They know we're quibbling about whose ministry they sat under when they saved and arguing around about it. Who baptized them. All this kind of stuff. And Paul said, all things are yours. Don't you know that? Everything that is yours. All things are yours. Christ died for heirs. Apostles, prophets. How come they benefit you? Because you're an heir. You're an heir. It was meant to benefit you. It's the children's bread. That's what the Lord said about his word. It's the children's bread. His providence is ordered for his heirs. He arranges his providence. I know people laugh when I say that, but it's true. He arranges his providence for his heirs. He sends a man there to preach. And by whatever means, he gets this one over here, and in his providence, he brings him over here to hear. Huh? Isn't that what he did for you? Isn't that what he did for you? See what I'm saying? God arranges. These aren't just random acts happening out here. This is God's arranged providence. Well, the economy's going south. So what? It was south before it went north, wasn't it? This got nothing to do with our salvation out here. God's going to preserve this whole thing and preserve us in it to accomplish his purpose. And providence is not being run for the economy of the United States of America. Providence is being arranged for his heirs. For his heirs. It may be the best thing. I was talking to Brian this week and telling him a little bit about this message. And I said, think about old blind Bartimaeus. Boy, he had to be led out there, Larry. He didn't know where he was going. Led him out there on the outskirts of Jericho and set him down on an old dirty blanket. And he sat out there and begged all day long. And they come back in the evening and get him, take him back home. Boy, you say he wasn't blessed. Oh, yes, he was. God put him in the very place. In the very place. Well, he was hindered, all right. He was blind. So are we. But he put that man in the very place where the Son of God was going to pass by and go speak to him and give him eyes to see. Huh? He does that for every one of his heirs. He puts you in that spot. He may bring you down. He may shut your business down. Who knows what he's going to do? But he's going to bring you to Christ. And he said, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ, and Christ is God's. Huh? We're heirs. What do loving fathers do? They supply everything their children need, and then some. Then some. They only withhold what they know is not good for you. Walk in love. You know the word love, when he gets on the subject, he doesn't use that word love. He uses the word charity. Charity. Suffereth long. It's kind. Charity, it never faileth. What is charity? Why would he use that instead of the term love? Because charity is active love. It's love in action. It suffereth long. It is kind. And it is the one thing that the Scriptures tells us will not fail. I love what Brother Mahan told us. Gabe Stoniker, when he left to go down and pastor the church in Kingsport, he said, love them to Christ. Love never fails. It never fails. Followers of God walk in love. And then thirdly, followers of God walk as children of light. He said in verse 8, Ephesians 5, you were sometimes dark. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Let's look at some passages concerning our being light. And the word are ye in that verse I just quoted to you is in italics. The translators put it in there to make it read smoother. What it says in the original is, but now, you were darkness, but now light in the Lord. You were sometimes darkness, but now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And the light we have is like the light of the moon. It's a reflected light. It's a light that's... The moon doesn't have any light. It's dark. But you see the moon, don't you? Why? Because the sun's shining on it. Sun's shining on it. That's why people see light in you, Russell. Sun's shining on you. Sun's shining on you. But you got a dark side, just like the moon. You got a dark side. It's a reflective light. And all my light is his light. If his light be extinguished, my light goes out. and to walk as children of light, I must at all times have the light of Christ. Peter said this. He said, he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In Colossians 1:12, Paul gives thanks to the Father. He said, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, or enlightened saints. And he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us, or transferred us, into the kingdom of his dear Son. And as ignorant sinners and rebels of God, we draw our darkness from this present evil world and this fallen, depraved flesh and satanic antichrist religion. That's where our darkness feeds on that kind of stuff. We work darkness like a blinding smoke, preventing ourselves and others from seeing. One place he was talking to Timothy, and he said, these in darkness, he said, they're attempting to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm. One says it, the other says amen. They're both in darkness. But he delivered us from the power of darkness. What is the power of darkness? When you talk about the Hollywood portrays that as a man with spiritual power, that antichrist, and that's not what it is. The power of darkness is deception. Deception. And Satan's a master of it. He's a master of it. Cause you to believe a lie and rejoice in it. Rejoice in it. Deception and the deceiver, lies and the father of lies. We're taught to pray, deliver us from evil. What that really says is deliver us from the evil one, is what he's talking about. The evil one and the evil he spawned. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, he says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts. Now watch this. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the light. It's that light of Christ. And believers walk in the light of Christ, in the light of his glorious character, in pure harmony with God. We love him because he first loved us. He's the first begotten Son through whom all the rest are made heirs. And he's the light of the glory of God. My walk's not based on my emotions or my feelings, but upon the glorious light of Christ. Walk as children of light. John said, we saw God in the form of a man. We saw him. Our hands have handled, our eyes have looked upon him. And he said, this is it. This is the heart of what we come to tell you. In him is light and no darkness at all. Now he said, if you say we have fellowship with him and you walk in darkness, you're a liar. You're a liar. Can any part of the moon that the sun's shining on be dark? No. No, only the part that the sun's not shining on. And you say you have fellowship with God, where's the light? Where's the light? He said, you're a liar. But he said, if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Paul wrote this to the Philippians. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercy, Fulfill ye my joy, that you may be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. And let this mind be in you. This is the mind I'm talking about. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Took on him the form of a servant. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. To walk in light is to walk with the mind of Christ. And to walk in his example. He tells us to be kind one to another. Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. So we're to walk as followers of God, as dear children. We're to walk in love. We're to walk as children of light. And then lastly, he tells us in verse 11, Ephesians 5, that followers of God are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but reprove them. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. John tells us in 1 John 1 that he and the other apostles had seen the Lord. And he said, this is the message. God is light, in him no darkness, no other source of light. If you get any light, it's going to come from him. You're not going to find it in your hostile mind or in that evil image of God that you've been worshiping. Did you know there's three sources of light in this world? The Word of God. David said, the Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And there's Christ himself, the Son of God. He said, I am the light of the world. He is the light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And then there's the children of God. He said, ye are the light of the world. They're the pillar and ground of the truth. They're the children of light. Now listen to this. 1 John 1, 6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, what's that say? We lie and we do not the truth. But if you walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanseth us from all sins. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, false religion, rank immorality, filthiness, foolish talking, off-color jesting, fornication, covetousness, he said, which is idolatry. The works of darkness are unfruitful. Sometimes Satan twists this thing around. He said, well, if you just go along with them, if you just go along with them, maybe you can show them that you're just like them and you can win them to Christ. No, they're unfruitful works. That's what they are. Avoid them. They're unfruitful works. I didn't say avoid the people. I said avoid what they're doing. Works of darkness are unfruitful works. They never generate anything good to eat. Never do. Verse 12. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And then let me close with this, Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. May the Lord enable us and teach us to walk as followers of God, as dear children, and in a proper attitude and proper conduct that's honoring to him. Thank you.